Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2018. And I'm now here with Count Dankula, who is the famous, well, the other famous Scottish YouTuber, let's see. yeah, you're more famous than me, but perhaps, I don't know, which of us is more notorious. But anyway, welcome to Millennial Dankula.
Thanks very much, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's rather funny, isn't it? I only just realised there that, okay, that we are both two sort of infamous Scottish YouTubers for different reasons. But, I mean, I think most people will know your story, but do you want to, just for the sake of it, everyone will already know, but just summarise it for us here, what happened.
I taught my dog to Nazi salute, and I'm going to prison. That's the TLDR. I'm still going to go to jail over it because I've still not paid my fine. Still not paid it. And that was due on the 26th of October.
Oh, my God. So this is the fine of £800, isn't it?
Yeah, £800. Instead, I donated £800 to Glasgow Children's Hospital just to sort of prove that it wasn't about the money. It's just me saying, fuck you, instead. So, yeah, I gave the money to sick kids instead.
That's very good. So the deadline for paying this was the end of October, and have you heard from them yet?
This is the thing. People got angry at me for doing this, right? But I just want it over and done with. I just want to rip it off like a plaster. I was talking to my lawyer, and he theorised, like, oh, you'll get maybe roughly around 21 days. So I thought, okay, then, that's cool. You know, it's November. Let's just get it over and done with. But 2 weeks passed after the fine deadline, and I'm just sort of sitting in the house like, where the hell are they? You know, technically I'm wanted right now. So I phoned the cops on myself. I literally phoned them saying,
I'm turning myself in.
Yeah, I phoned up and I was like, have you got my correct address? You know, like, where the hell are you? And then they told me, oh, you've not paid your fine. And I went, well, yeah, don't worry, I did that on purpose. And then they were like, yeah, well, we're not going to come and get you until your name flags up in the computer. Like, I'm not joking. So I was just like, so that's my taxes at work. Thanks very much, guys. Can't even get myself arrested.
Oh, dear. Well, I wonder how that will progress, but I dare say you'll keep us informed on your channel. It is an absolutely... I mean... It's fucking crazy. It's an obviously stupid situation. But I know that it turned your life upside down for like 2 years. But it also, you know, brought you a lot of, fame and happiness, I would imagine. I don't know. How would you say this has transformed your life?
I'm enjoying the way things are because, like, I work for myself now and it's brilliant. I do really miss private security. But the problem is I'll need to wait a few years before I can go back into that because, you know, you can't really work in private security when you are the security risk. I'm happy where I am, though, like, just making content and getting to travel a good bit, getting to EU Parliament and everything. And, oh, fucking hell, the EU Parliament, by the way. They don't even try and hide the fact that they are just raging globalists. Like,
yeah, you mentioned that to me once before, because we spoke about this just after my Twitter ban. It was the start of October. So do you want to tell that story now? Because your visit to the Scottish, not to the Scottish Parliament, the EU Parliament was quite a big event. You went with Sargon, didn't you? And you met Farage.
Yeah, I met Nigel Farage, who knew who I was, which I was pretty fucking surprised by. He literally just like shook my hand going, I know you got into a spot of trouble, didn't you? And I was like, yeah. Like, what the fuck, man? But, like, see the whole building is built, and it's modelled after the Tower of Babel, right? And when you walk in, you're in this big cylindrical building, and right in the middle of it is a huge glass planet, the huge glass Earth that's literally called United Earth. So the instant you walk in the door, you just know what the place is all about. Oh, man, like, that's... They don't even fucking hide it. And see how the canteen, I thought it was the canteen. It's not, it's the bar. They've got beer taps in the canteen and all the MEPs at like 11 in the morning are all drunk off their fucking heads.
Is that where Jean-Claude Juncker spends most of his day?
Yeah, that's why he's usually drooling down his tie every time he's trying to talk. You know what, man? Like, honestly, they're all drunk. They're all drunk. And these are the people that voting on legislation for a, you know, a super state, and they're all drunk off their fucking arse.
Oh, you were there. I've forgotten what the legislation was called. Was it Article 13?
Article 13, yeah. Basically,
yeah. Yeah, so that was about YouTube and the ridiculous copyright laws, which were going to affect memeing as well as other things, but I've forgotten what the other things were. But that got passed, didn't it?
Well, it's, this was like sort of the preliminary vote, and it was overwhelming. It was something like 650 for Article 13 and then like 75 against. And it was that bad that UKIP actually teamed up with the Greens. Like, literally polar opposites in so many ways, you know. And we were working with the Greens, like, you know, we hate you, you hate us, but we can both agree that this thing is a fucking abomination. So basically we worked together to, like, try and get rid of it. And everybody else, you know, the Labour and the SNP ones and all of them, all the usual suspects were like, oh, hell yeah, restrict the internet. And it's like, go and fuck yourselves, man. You're not even trying to fucking hide it anymore. Like, it's... Even in fact, the one that I would say is worse, the UN Migrant Compact.
Right. It just occurred to me, before we got onto that, we forgot to do the disclaimer. We were going to start with a disclaimer that Dankula and I are not, you know, politically the same, because there will be people, there will be troublemakers who try to say that, well, because Dankula appeared on Millennial, obviously... he is an ethno-nationalist. He is in the alt-right and all this, when that is simply not the case. Dankula, is there anything you'd like to say about this?
Oh, no, it's just it's quite fun, because see, the people that actually get the most angry about me getting called, you know, alt-right by The Guardian and all that stuff is the alt-right themselves, because usually whenever I get branded as alt-right, everyone's commenting on it going, that fucking communist degenerate is not one of us. Stop saying he's in the alt-right.
Well, yeah, it is a term that gets bandied about all over the place now, and this is something that it is actually kind of annoying, because, you know, nowadays the mainstream media will just use that term to describe anyone that they don't approve of, who's on the right-hand side of the political spectrum. I mean, I know that you would regard yourself as a centrist. You describe yourself in that way, but of course that's not progressive. So it's, you know, as far as they're concerned, you're right wing. So, but yeah, that term just gets applied everywhere now. So it's not reliable. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this. It's a very difficult situation. But basically, I don't think it's a term that is controllable anymore.
No, it's kind of. It did have a definition that everyone in the community was sort of agreed upon. But it's a case of, you know, with the press, or like, as soon as they get a hold of any information or anything like that, they'll just completely twist it and manipulate it to suit a narrative that they want to push. Everybody, they already know that a lot of people have this horrible association with the alt-right. You know, the alt-right are bad, the alt-right are this, the alt-right are that. So the press just went, oh, this is a very convenient, you know, slur we can now use to brand our enemies. Because when I get called it in The Guardian, it was a guy, Peter something. I called him out directly on Twitter saying, what is the alt-right? What is the alt-right? And then he couldn't answer the question. You know, man, and he made it clear he didn't know. And I'm like, all right, so you're just branding people a term where you don't even know what it means. And I was like, you've got an agenda. That's why you're doing it. And then he was just, he just fobbed me off at that point.
Yeah, because at this point they've built that term to mean, well, basically bad. It's like you may as well say. So do you identify with the evil label? And then you've got to that seems to be what they've equated it with.
They think that the feelings of the alt-right come from a place of evil. They try and equate it of, I just want to be bad. I just want to be bad.
I've just got this obsession with being as evil as possible, and it's so ridiculous and childish. But yeah, that's what. But again, you know, they do this all the time. It's very. I was thinking about this the other day that it's extremely cartoonish and simplistic. The worldview that, like, The Guardian, for example, will will promote, or even Hope Not Hate will promote. I mean, they're, fuck's sake. And I've read a few articles on their website, and their worldview, that what they put across is an extremely simplistic notion that, like, for example, I am simply evil, and there's not a single redeeming quality about me. There's nothing to me except badness, of, you know, 10 different varieties of badness, and nothing good. And that's how they present someone like me and anyone else, really. And then they will tar, and then they'll threaten. So they'll tar anyone with that same brush. But then they also do the same to you, like you and Sargon. Yeah, and I've seen this, that they'll say, they'll sort of suggest that you are of that ilk as well. And so even, you know, Dankula and Sargon also can't be trusted. So this is their way of, well, they dehumanize people, basically, in order to cut them off from, you know, the mainstream, from acceptable discourse, from acceptable society.
It's just they want to avoid conversation. You know, it's a case of, you know, see when you've got, like, thousands of people telling you all the time, you're wrong, you are wrong, but then you say, let's come and have a discussion about it then. Let's pit our ideas against each other, and they just won't do it. They just won't. But the excuse I sort of, well, not the excuse, the sort of thing that I say to them all the time is, but I get thousands of viewers a stream. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could come on and just annihilate me in front of thousands of people? Why would you turn down that opportunity? And they just go, I'm not giving you any of my time. And I'm like, well, you've been tweeting at me for an hour now. And like, you know, what was another 30 minutes?
Exactly. But again, they'll say that, well, I'm above conversing with you. I'm not going to dirty myself by appearing on your channel. No, you're a coward, and you know that you can't actually defend the ideas that you claim to hold. And I think that part of this is that the left has become kind of fossilized at this point. They actually can't defend their ideas. And so they know that their only hope is to just deplatform anyone who points this out, who disagrees with their ideas. That's what they prefer to do now. And it's demonstrable, because it's what they do every single day. I mean, whatever Antifa organization you talk about, their activity is basically how to disable their opponents. It's not to out-argue them. It's not to be reasonable with them. It's how to silence them, how to switch them off so that they can no longer reach the public in one way or another, whether it's funding Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, anything. And so it really is. I mean, and they've become these just bullies. I mean, who all they do is try to dehumanize and demonize the people they disagree with. I mean, they can't help themselves at this point.
I think it's the sign that an ideology has failed is when they actively avoid debate and resort to violence instead to establish their ideas. Like, see the fact that they have done that. There's Antifa exist. You've got Stand Up to Racism, who, you know, actively, like, try and find their events so that they can come and, in some cases, just straight up assault people. We've got people like that coming after us, and it's a case of, like, even though it's shit being deplatformed, it's shit being threatened and all the time, but you sort of have this smug satisfaction where you're sitting there going, it's because I'm right. That's why you're doing this. I'm right, and you can't stand it. That's why you're sending people to shut down our events, because us simply opening our mouths is enough to completely trash their worldview. And it's a sign they're losing. And that's why, see how the thing we were talking about with the UN Migrant Compact, it's going to be completely illegal to criticise migration at all. It's going to be, now this, that is authoritarian endgame. Because see right now this whole freedom of speech fucking bullshit, where it's like, oh, this is, you know, the hate speech is about protecting minorities, it's about protecting this, it's about protecting that. No, it's not. No, it's not. You have an ultimate end game. And what they said about the UN Migrant Compact was them showing their hand and saying the end game. It's not about protecting minorities. It's about criticising the things that the government are doing, which basically means that the government know what they are doing is wrong. They know the UN Migrant Compact is a fucking heap of shit. It is a heap of fucking shit. And then they're like, but don't point it out. We're going to make it illegal if you use rational argument and facts to prove that mass immigration is a failed system. So like, it's like, yeah. Yeah. We know we're wrong, don't point it out or we'll send you to jail.
But I've said this before, you know, like, you'll hear lefties saying, diversity is a very difficult challenge. It's not something that comes naturally to people. It goes against a lot of people's tribal instincts and so on. But then they don't make the obvious leap and say, well, okay, maybe we just shouldn't do this. And no, their solution is ever more diversity and ever more mass immigration in order to, destroy people's sense of themselves, sense of their society, just to swamp people, basically. But the other thing about the hate speech, because now criticism of migration is going to be, as I understand it, that's now going to be considered hate speech. Hate speech is a sort of magical box, because anything that's in the hate speech box is not subject to freedom of speech. Anything that's hate speech is disqualified from the public space. You cannot say this stuff. And so, I mean, that's already sort of crazy. I mean, that's already an unhealthy thing in the first place. But it also means that, well, then you can just expand the box. You can just put ever more things into the hate speech box. And because you've established that the stuff in this box is unsayable, then everything, all of these new things become unsayable. And so in the first place, hate speech was about, you could defend it by saying it was about minorities and protecting minorities. But at this point, criticizing migration, that's not attacking minorities. That's attacking or criticizing an act, a process of migrating. How the fuck is that hate speech? I mean, how is that? It's just crazy. But now they're just arbitrarily saying, no, it is hateful to criticize this act of migrating. So you're screwed.
It's mass immigration. Like, the economy always suffers with mass immigration. It's a case of, we have resources, you know, we've got things like the NHS, we've got things like housing and all that type of stuff as well. If there isn't enough of that to go around and you kick off mass immigration, that will affect the economy, and as a result, the population will suffer. They will suffer at the hands of that. And if they turn around and go, we are in a bad way right now, and it turns out that mass immigration is the problem, boom, jail. So I'm very, very sorry. I tried to ask the government to protect my interests. Like, I thought that was your job.
Yeah, forgive me. I had this crazy idea in my head that you were here to protect us.
I just want a roof over my head and food in my belly, but, you know, sorry, I guess I'm a racist.
I'm a thought criminal. No, that does seem to be the way they're pushing it. I mean, I always wonder, realistically, how far can they succeed with this, and can they actually make it happen, you know? But we have seen before that technology is so advanced now that they can write an algorithm that detects a copyrighted song, for example, in a video. Actually, amazingly, I once used audio from a Mr. Bean video. I was playing the video on my TV, and I filmed myself watching the TV, right? And it was just the audio. And somehow the YouTube algorithm detected that I was watching this copyrighted thing, a Mr. Bean episode. It actually detected, even though it had gone through the camera and through the cables and everything, this algorithm was still able to recognize that this soundtrack. I thought it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I wasn't, you know, it was all fair use and all that, because it was criticism and whatever. But still, that's how advanced the algorithms are. So I think with the Article 13, for example, they probably will be able to write algorithms that can detect copyrighted imagery in a meme. So, I mean, geez, I don't know how stifling this is going to end up being on various websites.
There's a few more bills that actually came out with it as well, called SESTA and FOSTA, and this sort of relates to the, you see how the whole Tumblr pedo thing that happened, you know, like Tumblr was going to get held responsible because apparently there was a lot of child porn getting traded on Tumblr. I don't know how much. Apparently it was only about 15 accounts, but they were dispersing an awful lot of the stuff, from what I understand. But SESTA and FOSTA are two new bills that have came out. Well, see how Section 230 says that a platform cannot be held responsible for anything that's posted on it. Like, so basically, if someone posts a death threat, you know, that person would get charged, not the platform. These bills basically mean that, see, if there is pornographic content that's related to sex trafficking, then the platform would get charged. But the problem with that is there's no way to, you know, if there's a nude of a girl, like, how are you going to know if she's been sex trafficked or anything? So what's going to happen is platforms will play it completely safe and just delete any and all
pornographic content in its entirety. And it's a case of, because there simply aren't enough people or, you know, as much well-developed algorithms to identify this stuff. The exact same is the case for hate speech, because algorithms can't detect sarcasm. They can't detect
a joke.
Yeah. You know, so like that's the problem we're having. And I bet you there's going to be more and more laws like this coming out where basically they're designed to make platforms shit themselves and go, oh, fuck, we'll see, just to play it safe and get rid of all of it.
Yeah, sometimes when I go into YouTube now, there's a pop-up that says Article 13, I forgot what the wording is, Article 13 will do damage to... So they're obviously really worried about this.
Yeah. This is the thing, is most of the stuff comes from big business. Like, a lot of the stuff that gets tabled through the European Parliament, it's big business-sponsored lobbying groups that get it through, because see how the primary people that are backing Article 13 is... the music industry. The music industry, so that they can farm as much money as they can. You know, it wasn't enough for them to bring down Napster. Like they ended up having to like go after this as well just to maximize their revenue. But the only problem is that fair use is now irrelevant throughout Europe. Like one of the things that we tried to table, like an amendment to it, which I think was completely fair, was even if Article 13 does pass, the nation states' own laws regarding copyright would take precedent over Article 13, and most nation states have fair use laws. So if it's parody, commentary, criticism, all of those, you know, good things, then you would be protected under that. And Parliament went no and got rid of it. So they actively made sure that fair use wouldn't exist. That's the scary thing about Article 13. The Parliament actively made sure, oh, fair use, no, get that amendment out of there. No, you're not adding that. So that's the thing is, but why that particular part? That's what bothers me, because I think music companies are doing this thinking it's going to maximise profits, but I think a lot of the people are like, it could be down to things like news articles and all that type of stuff as well. So if you want to criticise something, say on, you know, the left wing or anything like that, if you want to criticise it, people could just go, oh, that's my copyrighted content, and just pull your entire video. That's the problem. I think there's an end game to it. That's what I personally feel was an end game.
What I heard, and this is what Sargon told me last night, was that Gavin McInnes's YouTube channel was shut down because of copyright. His employers fired him and then accused him of copyright violation for using their videos on his channel, namely the videos that he'd made for them.
Right, I didn't know that.
I don't know if this is true or not. This is what Sargon told me last night on the Hangout. It's amazing, isn't it? If it's true, the copyright stuff is another danger. I mean, there are just see nowadays. This is what we were mainly talking about, Sargon and me last night. Nowadays, it's become a very different climate. You know, when I started, it was the start of 2014 when I first uploaded. And I don't know, when did you start your channel?
Like 2015, and it was just nonsense I uploaded. And the Nazi Pug video was like the fifth ever video I uploaded on the channel. Like that's how much I cared the channel. I didn't care. I just uploaded crap on it, and then that video blew up, and here we are.
Yeah, the rest is history. Well, I mean, yeah, so back then, 2015, things were far more relaxed. I mean, but in both senses, the copyright stuff and the what would now be called hate speech or racism or whatever, no one really... I mean, yeah, you still had to be fairly polite and so on. About if you're talking about migration, you wouldn't use racial slurs or whatever. I'm not saying that you ever would, but, you know, I'm talking about in general, people on YouTube. The point is, nowadays, it's like treading on eggshells. I mean, it's crazy, the stuff that people get censored for and get channel strikes for and so on.
There's no consistency with it as well.
No, because they're dealing with millions of people every day, so they can't have... I mean, you've got to have a human element, but then you also can't have millions of people to deal with the millions of complaints every day. So it's going to be, it's very randomly, the rules are very randomly applied.
Because one thing that I get with my channel as well is no matter what I upload, see how whenever you upload a video and it will say, you know, flagged, but you can submit it for manual review. The way my channel works is no matter what I upload, it's always like submit a manual review, because even to test it, I uploaded a video of my two dogs playing with a toy, and I uploaded it as private, and it was just a minute long video of just two, you know, dogs just playing with a toy, wholesome stuff. Oh,
what kind of toy was it, dare I ask?
It was just a ball on a string. Like, it was just that. Fucking
okay.
Demonetized right away, and I was like, two puppies playing was demonetized by YouTube. So it's not my content that's not advertiser friendly. It's just me. It's anything that I produce, no matter what it.
Yeah. Well, you know what they've done to me? They're not. Apparently, people aren't getting notifications about the millennial hangouts.
Yeah, that's a bit, even when you click the bell, people don't get it.
Yeah. It just denotifies. They've got to click the bell immediately again. Fucking, God. And then there's my friend. Linking with what you just said, there's a musician, a friend of mine called Zurius, and basically every single video he puts up, whether it's private, unlisted, whatever, immediately gets flagged and accused of violating hate speech laws in Europe, so it's banned in Europe. That's what happens with every single one of his videos. And it's ridiculous. It's kind of laughable. It's funny as well. But at the same time, you then remember, oh, but this is freedom of speech. This is life. This is like what we're supposed to be able to do. We're being prevented from doing by this massive platform.
Like this is the thing as well, is like Zurius makes music, and music itself is art, and I feel that art should just be left the hell alone. It should be considered what it is. You know, music is a form of art. But you had a lot of people that were actually, don't know if you remember that French rapper. The guy that was saying we should sneak into, what is it, the birthing wards of hospitals and kill white babies, and I want to hang white people and all that, and his rap song. And a lot of people came out and says, yeah, that's fine, that's freedom of speech. These lefty journalists that sort of have a little bit of a penchant for all that anti-white stuff, you know, which is funny. But do you think they would say the same thing for Zurius?
No, not at all.
I mean,
fucking hell! There's no question of that. His music would be villainous and evil and vile and all the rest of it. You see this all the time, and you see it on Twitter all the time. Like this, the stuff that people get away with saying, like the anti-white racism that people get away with every single day. It's difficult not to notice that. I'm amazed that more people aren't aware of it, actually. I don't understand how this isn't a big deal.
See the thing that really fucked me off on Twitter? There was a girl who was of the African persuasion that I was arguing with on Twitter, and she just started doing the usual, you know, fuck you, cracker, fuck you this, fuck you that, you know, fuck you, white boy, all that type of stuff as well. And all I did was, in our display picture, you could tell that this woman was no stranger to the chip shop queue. Right, so I replied to her saying, those who live in glass houses should get on a fucking treadmill, right? That's right. So basically, she's spewing just anti-white racism at me. I called her fat. I'm the one that got banned for a week. And I was just like, are you fucking joking? I was like, I even in my appeal went, look at the tweets I'm replying to. She's being racist as fuck. And Twitter was just like, no, your ban still stands. Delete the tweet. It's just, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I think it's just the case that these SJWs who, you know, are there working at Twitter, they get off on this. I mean, they basically agree. They're the ones who are pushing these politics and enabling black women like her to feel okay about calling you a cracker.
Yeah.
And I don't even see like an equivalent of that for, you know, the other way around, like the N-word or whatever. I would never say that, because God would happen to the channel if I did. Not that, but you know, it's like, fuck's sake. We are so, and then they say that they're oppressing, that we're the oppressors. We've got the power in this society. I think that is just increasingly laughable now. Is it not obvious to everyone we are the ones who have to watch our watch our P's and Q's very intently, especially as a YouTuber?
The UK and the US are actually some of the least racist nations in the world. Like, Do you want to know the most racist nation in the world? They did a survey, and it was almost 50% of the population basically said that they would not want a foreigner living next door to them. That's nearly half of the population, and it's India. So that's an awful large amount of people. They're like, I don't want any filthy whiteies living next door to me.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe it was for the good of the neighbours that they were saying that, not for themselves.
Every Indian man's worst nightmare, her daughter bringing home a cracker. Get that shit out of my house and take it in the street like a regular Indian.
What the hell are you saying? I don't understand that humour at all, and I certainly don't approve of it, Dankula.
I apologise. I promise Christ. I'm not trying to your strike.
I fucking hope not. It'll be your fault if that happens. I might have to take this down. Anyway, you know, I mean, some of my best friends are Indian, so, you know, I'm safe.
Doesn't mean you're not racist.
Well, anyway, let's move swiftly on. I suppose there is the general free speech issue, which we've been talking about. What about your IRL stuff? Because that's something that you and Sargon have been getting into, like, in the last year or so. I've forgotten when the last time was. When was the first time that you got into this? Cause I think you did a talk at a university in Glasgow, or you were going to, but they managed to get you deplatformed.
Oh, no, that was Stirling. I did my talk at Glasgow University. University talks are the best thing to do, by the way, because see, when it's a paid show, like, people have bought tickets and stuff, so, like, the audience are all people that like you. But whereas, if you do a university talk, like, 80% of the crowd are just people that fucking hate you. They just hate you, which is why university talks are so much more fun. See, if you get invited to a university, do it. Do it, man, because you'll get...
I don't know if I would ever get invited, but it would be... I mean, I'd have to have security with me, obviously. Well, what's the atmosphere like? I think that'd be interesting for people to hear about, you know, when you go in there, are they scowling at you in the audience? Do you get blue-haired, you know, 18-year-olds who just think they've been reading the Hope Not Hate website and they think you're the devil incarnate? What's it like?
That's pretty much it. We even had this was a strange one. It was the Glasgow University... Anarchist Society, you know, anarchist. Anarchist Society is a little bit of a juxtaposition there, but ended up they came in and secretly recorded me and all that, and secretly recorded me and uploaded stuff. And the thing was, like, I had really bad toothache. I was high off my arse on painkillers, so I made some jokes, right? And they were furious at the stuff that I said and everything. And it was like there was a Q&A at the end. You could have challenged me, but instead you just secretly recorded the stuff that I said and then left and then uploaded it and basically wrote this little bitchy article about me. It's like, I was there in person. You were 10 feet in front of me. Why didn't you say anything at the end? I had one feminist girl who kept putting her hand up, like, really angry, and I chose her every time. I was like, I'm not going to avoid you. And she just, one of the points she tried to make was that all men in Parliament, a good number of them should quit and let women take their job. Like, that was one of the points you tried to make, and I was just like...
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. That was it. That did actually get a few groans for the crowd. So even the crowd were like, come on, darling, that's a bit extreme.
But, you know, the thing about that, they didn't challenge you, they just recorded you. I think that's very... It's very typical, because what they... as we were saying earlier, they don't actually want to contest... or get into a debate with you, because they can't win. But what they will do is record evidence of your villainy and then take it back to their SJW friends, and then all agree that you're a dreadful person. And then they'll maybe use that evidence to try to get you deplatformed or whatever. But it does, you see this all the time. I was actually hearing about an organization in America, some sort of nationalist organization, and some local Antifa had done a... they'd organised this event called Punch a Nazi Day.
Yeah.
Now, this organisation are not Nazis, but they know that they would be regarded as Nazis by these Antifa. So what they did was they went to the event in order to challenge these Antifa to punch them. And what the Antifa did was they hid in the building and locked themselves in.
I didn't know about that.
Fucking no, hell.
I hadn't heard about it either. It happened a few months ago. I thought it was a hilarious thing because in the end, it's bravado. They will attack you if they feel that they can do it and then get away quickly, so that there's no danger to themselves. But they, you know, if it's a one-on-one or fair to fair sort of conflict, they will simply run away. And all of this bravado is revealed for what it is. It's just fucking bollocks.
So one thing that I've noticed in Britain, I've been surrounded by Antifa twice. I've noticed if you make it very clear that you're ready to fight them, they shit themselves. You know what, man? I had it in George Square at the anti-Trump protest, which I actually walked into by mistake. Like, I was actually in town with another YouTuber. Like, he bought, like, you know, guitar equipment. I bought fucking Magic the Gathering cards. I'm fucking walking through George Square going, why are all these people here? It was a fucking anti-Trump rally, and I was like, I've literally just walked into the middle of the lion's den, and we get surrounded. Within a couple of minutes, we get surrounded. And do you know how hard it is to act hard while you're holding a bag with Magic the Gathering cards in it?
I'm glad to say that I don't, because I've never been in that situation, but I can just imagine it.
But that was the thing as well. Even when we were in London, there was a guy, and I found out who he was. He's a top figure in United Against Fascism, and he was up and he was threatening us, and it turns out he's a beta, as they're called. You know, Scientology, you know, they have people that do that where they come up to you, they'll threaten you, instigate you, make it look as if they're going to hit you, but they're trying to bait you into punching them so you get arrested, right? And I can tell you his name. His name's Paul Sillett, right? And we seen him at Day for Freedom in London. And then when we were at the UKIP conference in Birmingham, he was there again. And I just walked up to the front going, hiya, Paul. I was like, is this where they've bust you to today? How much are you getting paid this time? You know what, man? And he got furious because I recognised him. And I was like, I was even shouting over them going, noticing a lot of similar faces. I've noticed that a lot of the protests, it's all the same people. That's really weird, isn't it? You know what, man? Like, no matter where in Britain it's happening, it's all the same people. It's funny that. Isn't it? It's almost like it's all, you know, organised, you know, probably funded. I wonder who by.
Well, let's not name any names in case we get accused of a hate crime. But I saw the same stuff. Actually, there was a guy, when I went to America, I was at a conference and there was an Antifa protest outside. I mean, this is before Antifa started, you know, went berserk like they are nowadays. But, there was a guy, there was a protest out there, and there was a guy there twerking, and he was sort of half, like, mostly naked. I think he had spandex underwear on or something, and it was just gross. It was just, a horrible spectacle. And then, about 6 months later, I was watching footage from Europe of another thing in America, and there was this Antifa demo, and then there's this guy again, and it was in a different part of America. So he obviously just travels around with his spandex underpants, just looking for right-wingers to shock by doing his twerking in front of them. What a fucking degenerate loser that is. How low do you have to be to have that life? And, well, there we are. That's my story.
The other thing as well, see, when I heard the theory that apparently, you know, like, mentally ill people are getting paid to go to these places and be agitators, and I heard that and I was like, that's probably not true, that's a little far-fetched. And then you see footage and you're just kind of like, hold on a minute here. It's like, that girl, she got arrested at the last rally. She had like a bright yellow jacket on and she was spitting in a guy's face, and like, did you not see that video, the way she was acting? What around? I used to work in a, we're not allowed to use the term asylum anymore. It's a mental health unit. I used to work in one of them. And I was looking at that girl and the way she was acting, and I was actually sitting there going, no, there's something wrong with her. There's something really, really not right with her. And that's what kind of made me, because she's disappeared now. That's the thing that's weird. She got arrested and that's it. She's gone. No one could find any other information out about her. And that kind of made me raise an eyebrow a wee bit. Like, she's not connected to Antifa, she's not connected to any of that stuff. But this person who was clearly mentally deranged was at this rally, causing shit, and then just disappeared again. That
and she was constantly, That is freaky, because you think God knows what became of that person. Like, where has she ended up? As you say, maybe she is sectioned now. You hear about this. And I have heard that a lot of them are junkies as well. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I don't want to... maybe I'm too nice. I probably am too nice. But I don't want to dehumanize all of Antifa and say that they're all junkies or nutters or whatever, because I'm sure that there are people there who have genuine convictions of the political beliefs and so on. So, but it does seem that... Do I respect them? Not really. Because, again, I think that they're sort of thwarted in terms of their growth as well. And it's sort of adolescent what they're preaching. But I do think that even aside from the ones who have genuine convictions, a lot of them do seem to be basically nutters.
The vast majority of them I've noticed as well is they're all young. They're all young. And that's the thing is, I was a fucking communist when I was a fucking kid. And, everybody likes to remind me of that because, fair enough, that shit don't wash off, right? But, I still held on to those beliefs. And one of the main reasons that I ended up leaving it behind entirely was the groups were starting to get violent. They were actually starting to get pretty violent. And I just went, I don't want anything to do with this. We're all going to get arrested for this shit. If only I'd have known that in this day and age that, Antifa kind of get a pass. But at the time, I was like, fuck this, I'm not having a part of this anymore, and I left. And I was still, quite left-wing, but how as the years go on and you get older and you start getting your own place and start getting better jobs and all that, that sort of fades away with age and, you go a little bit more to the right. And then it ended up, I'm where I am now, and this is the thing is, I live with quite a lot of regret because all of this shit that's fucking happening right now is something that in the past I supported because I was young and because I was fucking stupid, right? So basically I'm kind of trying to undo the type of shit that I used to actually believe in and support. It's not very nice to think of that. I'm sitting going, this is literally the type of shit that at one point, when I was a teenager that I advocated for and everyone. So it doesn't feel nice thinking that.
I think, in a way, you've just got to give yourself a break because, obviously, when you're young, and you believe whatever you want to believe. You can do that. And especially back then, I think nowadays people are much more informed because of 4chan and 8chan and all that. When I was a teenager, you could believe whatever the fuck you wanted because you could find the justification for this or that, It was not like it is now. But the point is, you were young and stupid. I mean, the thing is, the people doing it now are also young and stupid. But the ones that I am more concerned about is the ones who aren't that young, the ones who are in their 30s, who should know better, but are still in this. I mean, it's tragic. Like, if you see someone like Tony Robinson or Eddie Izzard or somebody like that, who really, they're grown men, they shouldn't be like this anymore. But, obviously they're not the worst. The point is,
just to clarify, is this the guys that live in like 9-bedroom mansions and all that type of stuff? They get paid millions of dollars. They live in extremely white areas and, so they don't really face any of the problems that most people complain about. But, the socialists, these poor, poor, poor people. Oh, we need to do our best to help them while he fucking sips on a latte out of a diamond fucking encrusted glass and all that, man.
Billy Bragg, J.K. Rowling, and of course Bono.
Yeah,
fucking hell, I hate that guy.
This $5,000 suit was stitched together by only the finest child slaves, but I assure you, I care about the plight of poor people.
Now, you see, Bono has really, he's become a complete joke. Yeah, you probably saw that thing he did in, was it Berlin, where he was talking about he'd been at Sweden and it was all boring and it was just white people. Fucking hell.
Sweden.
God, it was awful. A couple of months ago, he's got some... not nowadays. I don't know where he went in Sweden. Anyway, He's got some digital thing that they do at concerts where it must track his face, and this digital animation is rendered in real time. And he was putting on some stupid voice. It was cringe, because he couldn't even do this accent that he was trying to do, which was, I don't know, upper class English sort of villain sort of thing. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. But anyway, and this is the thing, he was using that to push the anti-white thing. To push the anti-white message, and you think, Jesus, how does this happen? You know, how does a guy from, you know, a working class background in Ireland in the 70s end up being this globalist monster, telling white people that they should hate themselves and be perfectly happy with being replaced? I mean, it's just utterly perverse. And I actually nearly did a video called "Bono is Grotesque." But then I realized it would be a fairly short video. There really wasn't much to say because everyone already knows it. And at this point, he really is a laughing stock. And I think actually a lot of people find him actively disgusting to consider.
It's like most of the people that you're hearing, you know, ranting on about, you know, privilege and all that type of stuff are some of the most fucking privileged people that are out there. Like, who have you got? You've got fucking Owen Jones, who is a fucking idiot of a boy, man. It's like, I speak on behalf of the working class when the working class despise him. He's this little trumped up kid with fucking born with a silver spoon up his ass. He's never wanted for anything in his fucking life. He's a privileged little fucker. And then you've got Lily Allen, who was like, oh, we should
lives in the Cotswolds.
Yeah, we should accept refugees. Well, I've heard you've got a good few spare bedrooms, don't you, bitch? Fucking go on, take some then. And she backed out of it and all, man. It's just, and then J.K. Rowling, fucking, is she not a billionaire at this point?
I think she might be. I think she might well be, yeah. But at any point, she's absolutely loaded. I mean, she's unimaginably rich.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, as well, if you care so much about the plight of these poor refugees, give them all your money. I mean, you know, you're a bit left-leaning. What happened to redistributing the wealth? Why don't you, you know, buy a housing project and get houses built and move them all in? Why don't you do that?
Exactly. And I know what they would say to that. They'd say, oh, but it's not about me giving up my money. It's about society changing. And so that people, individuals, don't need to give up their own money. But the point is that, look, you don't need to give up all your money. Just give up 95% of it. And the other 5%, you'll be able to live. You'll never need to work again. Your children, your grandchildren will never need to work again. You'll be incredibly wealthy just with 5% of your wealth. So you don't need to give up. You don't need to change your lifestyle at all, really. Just give up 95% of your wealth and let it happen. But no, they don't. And I think it's so pathetic. And again, you sort of see how they don't examine themselves. They probably don't really know themselves. It's the same, and that's how they can do stuff that's so contradictory. It's the same with George Clooney. He was living in Lake Como in Italy, I think on the edge of Lake Como, and he had a big house there, really nice, and he left it in the end because it wasn't safe anymore. Well, why is it not safe anymore? It's because of the refugee problem, I would guess. And but he was pro-refugee, he was pro the migrant crisis, and he was demonizing people who, you know, he attacked people who you know, moaned about the way that life was changing in Europe because of this. And then he goes and fucks off himself. I mean, this is just amazing hypocrisy.
It's like the whole area is in ruins. There's tire fires and everything all around the place. And he's just like, my work here is done, and rides off into the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah. To make another fucking stupid film, to make even more money. You know, you can't.
Do you know who you don't hear a peep out of, though? fucking Mel Gibson. You don't hear a peep out of him. And I think we all know why.
Yeah, Mel Gibson, he definitely knows where it's at. It's hilarious. I'd love to hear Mel Gibson talking about the migrant crisis and how much money we should all give up in order to accommodate the migrants. That would be wonderful.
Fucking hell, man. Oh, fuck me.
So, anyway, I don't know what else we should talk about. This has been a very enjoyable conversation. I think I'm getting messages in. A lot of people are enjoying it. But I think we should emphasize, just for the sake of it, just because we didn't really do this at the start, and I feel bad about that, we should emphasize that you and I are not on the same page politically about anything except the free speech issue. And this is something, because I remember seeing some people, like when I appeared on your channel a few months ago, people were saying that I'm not for free speech, and it was only because I'd been banned from Twitter. That is not true. I have always been pro-free speech. Well, the exception I make is about the subversion. When a society is being actively subverted, I think it should defend itself, because the alternative is just to sit back and watch as you lose everything. And no sane people would actually do that in the real world, and they don't. I mean, America had the First Amendment, has always had that, and yet still fought against the communist subversion in the 50s. And so it is not a contradiction. No, I am pro-free speech, and I always have been. It's and so when I got banned from Twitter, that just made it all the more real for me. But it wasn't a change in my politics. So I want to make that clear. And I obviously, that is the thing that... that's one thing, in a way, that you and I agree on. But I think it's important, just for the sake of keeping this accurate, it's important to state that, you know, Dankula and I are not the same, and it should not be seen as anything other than two guys who, you know, get along together, having a conversation, you know, at Christmas time. That's all that this is. Because after all, I don't want Millennial to be just me talking to other nationalists. That's perfectly fine. But I think it's nice to have to reach out to the broader community, because after all, we are in touch throughout the year anyway, on and off. So it's not like, it's funny. It's funny how YouTube does that. But there is a big dissident community on YouTube, and we don't agree on everything or even most things, but we still have YouTube in common, and that increasingly is an interesting situation. Not in a great way necessarily, but it's a fucking weird life, isn't it?
It's always good to have conversations and all that, though. Like, it's always good to like talk about this type of stuff, because there's a lot of hatred with everyone right now. Like, there's a lot of hatred where, you know, a lot of people hating on people just for based on what they believe and all that type of stuff. And it's a case of, like, you get lots of people that are saying, you know, oh, we should try and, you know, reach the alt-right or reach the communists and all this type of stuff. We should actually, you know, speak to them and broaden it out. But then people approach either side and just go, fuck you, I hate you, I want you to die, fuck you, and all that shit. And it's like, it's not exactly constructive, is it? It's just going to make everybody hate each other even more. But
yeah, and the thing is, there's more to life than politics. I mean, this is what I was saying earlier. You know, when Hope Not Hate demonizes somebody, they pretend that there is nothing to him but his political beliefs, and that, like, you know, he doesn't have an existence beyond that. And that clearly is just rubbish. And I think that, you know, the fact is that whatever beliefs somebody has, there is more to them than politics. And so that is how, you know, you and I, for example, can have an honest conversation, because, you know, there's more to life than that. I think that's something that people often forget on both, well, on every side of this. I mean, you see it in the alt-right as well, the sort of, why are you talking to him? I will get some stick for having you on, as you said earlier. But I don't really, well, you know, it's just silly. I don't care. I think it's very important that we remember, and this is going to be an awful cliche, but I think it's very important that we remember our humanity, and that we can actually get along together despite our disagreements. Because after all, imagine if you and I found ourselves, I don't know, working in a warehouse together at the same job. Despite our different political beliefs, we would still get along, because that's, you know, that's what real life is like. So I don't see why that shouldn't be reflected in on YouTube. And after all, it probably leads to good content. I think a lot of people will be enjoying this conversation, so why not? Fuck these people who would stop this from happening.
Exactly, man. Exactly. It's always healthy.
Yes, it is. It's nice. And after all, it's bloody Christmas time. I mean, I'm sure we can be forgiven for chatting to each other and having an upbeat conversation at Christmas, surely. But I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Goodwill towards filthy white men.
Exactly. All right, excellent. And to filthy centrists as well.
Nazi.
Communist.
Fuck, man. No one's ever going to let me forget that, are they? Like, that's what I meant when I say that shit doesn't wash off. I could literally full on join the alt-right, marching down the street and everything, and no, everyone would turn around and go, fuck off, communist. It's like a permanent fucking stain.
Well, you know, at least I'll tell you what, that's better than the thing that I'm stuck with. People still think that I'm pro-bestiality. because of a comment that I made and was misinterpreted 2 years ago, people still say, you're pro-bestiality, aren't you? I mean, imagine being stuck with that. At least you've only got communism to be hampered with.
That and apparently I'm controlled opposition paid by Mossad, which I'm quite upset about because I haven't seen a single shekel if I'm apparently supposed to be getting paid.
Well, according to the same sort of people, I'm a Jewish transvestite. So again, I think I've got you beat there.
Yeah, Jewish transvestite does kind of trump that. Okay, you got me.
Yeah, I'm controlled opposition and MI5 and all the rest of it. So anyway, let's leave it at that because I've enjoyed this, but I want to keep it short and sweet. So yeah, this was a good one. So all right, is there any final stuff you'd like to say to the audience, Count Dankula?
No, just thanks very much for having me on. It was enjoyable. I enjoyed this chat. It was good stuff.
It's a shame we didn't get to use that pun that we came up with before we went on air about the planet stuff. That was a shame. It was very funny. But of course, yeah. Anyway, let's leave it. Okay. Okay, this was Count Dankula on Millennial 2018. Thank you for appearing. Hope you all enjoyed this, and I'll see you later. The next one is, let me see. Oh, it's UKIP next. Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.